There's an old saying that goes, you can measure a man by the amount of opposition it takes to discourage him. Well, I wonder how much opposition it would take to discourage you. It's not an easy question to answer, really, because you never know really how you're going to act until that opposition is actually upon you. And in the early church, opposition was all too common. And as we continue to make our way through the book of Acts, we'll see how true that is. Last week, you had a look at the character of one of the more intriguing people in the book of Acts, Stephen, the first Christian martyr. Without a doubt, he was an inspirational man. But unlike Peter or Paul, who went on to spread the gospel and plant many churches in far-off lands, Stephen's greatness can be seen in the quality of his character and his commitment to the truth of God's word. He is, I think, a timely example for us today. As the book of Acts says, he was a man full of God's grace and power. He was doing fantastic things. He was teaching the truth about God's Messiah, about Jesus. And he was performing many miracles among the people to back it up. But unfortunately, not everyone liked what he was doing. Now, what's interesting, I think, is the opposition to his ministry was coming from his own people. The synagogue of the freedmen, as they were called. That's Jews who lived outside of the nation of Israel. Now, Stephen, as we'll find out later, was a great speaker. His speech before the Sanhedrin was masterful. And the members of the synagogue were really no intellectual match for him at all. The synagogue rulers weren't able to rebuff his claims that they'd misunderstood Scripture. And so they arranged to have false witnesses bring charges of blasphemy against him before the Sanhedrin. I guess that's the saddest part in all this, is that sometimes our greatest opposition can come not from our enemies, but from those who are supposed to be our friends. You see, if you stand up for truth, for what's right, don't expect everyone to be standing with you. Taking a stand on something might mean standing alone, and it can be very lonely indeed. So we might wonder then, is there ever a right time to stand up and be counted today? Well, yes, and always. In fact, Stephen shows us in his speech. He stood up for the truth when he recognized the error of the Sanhedrin's teaching. I think it would be safe to say then that from time to time, standing up for the truth may require us to stand against false teaching. But notice how Stephen does it. He stands before the Sanhedrin and he points out three things wrong with their teaching. And he doesn't hold back, does he? He really lets them have it. First of all, there was the issue of the land. That's something that's still an issue in that part of the world today. The Sanhedrin believed that the land of Israel was holy ground, the place where God rested. But Stephen correctly pointed out their error by stating that God cannot be limited to Jerusalem, or for that matter, to Israel, because God is the God of the whole world. He pointed out that Abraham, Joseph, Moses had all met God outside of the geographical boundaries of Israel. The second issue was the law of Moses. The Sanhedrin argued that Stephen was not following that law, that he was blaspheming it, a crime punishable by death. And Stephen's response was to point out that they'd been breaking the law of Moses all their lives because, in effect, they were rejecting what Moses had taught and said when he said, God will send you a prophet like me from your own people. And in doing that, they were no different from their ancestors who rejected God's prophets, including Moses. The third issue was the temple. Just because they had the temple in Jerusalem didn't automatically make them right in God's sight. In fact, It was because of their continual rejection of God's word through his prophets that they've been sent into exile to Babylon in the first place. But the Sanhedrin couldn't see it. They were accusing Stephen of defiling the temple. And Stephen's response was to say that the day of the temple had in fact passed. It may have been a great blessing in the past, but now we have the Lord Jesus Christ. He should be the focus of their worship, not the temple. Now you might be sitting there and thinking that these people were a bit messed up. What's the matter? Couldn't they read their scriptures? Didn't they understand them? Because the answers they were looking for were right there. The problem was, they refused to see it. They chose not to believe. But here's the thing. Are we any different? They were obsessed with the land, but aren't we too? We even call New Zealand God's own. The implication being that only New Zealand is good enough for God. Now, as for ownership of land, well, better not go there then, because we'd be here all day. They were obsessed with the laws of Moses. Well, some churches can have their own versions, can't they? In order to be saved, you're told that you can't do this and you can't do that. You have to do this and you have to do that. You have to come to church every week, give 10% of your income as a tithe, and that's in addition to your weekly offering, even down to wearing the right clothes. And so it goes on. Places like Gloria Vale come to mind. And they were obsessed with the temple. Well, some people believe you can only worship God in a church, that God only dwells inside these four sacred walls. Well, maybe we should see it for what it is. It's a lovely building, but it is just a building, nevertheless. You see, the accusations levelled at Stephen, they haven't really gone away. The terminology has changed, but the problems are still the same. Notice how Stephen was brave enough to stand up for the truth, to declare what was right and what was wrong. Now, we might like to think to ourselves, well, I'd be like Stephen, I'd stand up for the truth. Well, it might seem easy to say that now, standing for the truth, but we're not facing death if we do, are we? At least, not in our part of the world. We might not be in a situation where we're going to be stoned to death, but what if to confront someone with the truth meant that you could lose your best friend? Would you do it then? What if you confront someone with the truth and it might mean you lose your job? Would you be willing to risk it? What if it caused people to laugh at you? Are you willing to be humiliated? Are you still willing to stand up and be counted? The thing is, standing up and being counted might mean telling the truth when people just don't want to hear it. I suspect that what Stephen said to the Sanhedrin was the most shocking thing that they had ever heard. He called them stiff-necked and uncircumcised people. Well, stiff-necked was how God described the Israelites when they worshipped the golden calf. It's not really a glowing reference, not then, and certainly isn't now. Excuse me. The uncircumcised part recalls God's judgment on those among his people who disobeyed his laws. He called them uncircumcised in heart. It means that in the eyes of God, they were no different from unbelievers, no matter how many other laws that they tried to keep. They were bold words from Stephen. But really, the same could be said of us too. After all, it matters not one jot if we come to church to profess our love for God on a Sunday, if we're effectively rejecting God's laws every other day of the week by the way we're living our lives. So standing up for the truth will more than likely cause us to lose the popularity contest. No one wants to hear the things that they believe and do aren't true or right in the eyes of God. The members of the Sanhedrin certainly didn't want to hear it. But if we're going to stand up and be counted, that's exactly what we're going to have to do. Tell the truth, even when it's unpopular to do so. Standing up for the truth then might mean suffering the consequences of others' unbelief. It'd be nice to have said the Sanhedrin was fine with Stephen's speech, his harsh words, everything was cool. They listened and they changed their minds. But that's not exactly how it went, is it? They got angry. They got really angry. You know, when my children were younger and I said something they didn't want to hear, you can guess what they did, because I suspect your children would do the same. Ah, da, 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 da. I don't want to hear the truth. Well, look at verse 37 from our reading. At this, the Sanhedrin covered their ears, and yelling at the top of their voices, they all rushed at Stephen. You can imagine the scene, can't you? You can just picture the Sanhedrin hearing what Stephen was saying and going absolutely crazy. They were covering their ears and yelling at the top of their voices, just like children. Excuse me. Because they couldn't handle the truth. They snapped. They attacked him. They dragged him outside the city to stone him. And one by one, they threw rocks on him until he was dead. And during that whole traumatic experience, Stephen was calm. God was with him. But there was also somebody else there, wasn't there? It's the first mention we have of Saul. I'm sure that the stoning of Stephen at the time made Saul happy. But God had other plans for this Saul, didn't he? As the Apostle Paul, he went on to become exactly the sort of person that Stephen would have been proud to stand alongside. So Stephen stood up for what was right to the very end. He never got mad at his attackers. He never wanted to fight back either. What he wanted was for them to see the truth. This wasn't just a matter of winning an argument. It was a matter of standing for the truth. And doing that, even today, may lead to suffering. If you're going to do it, it might mean suffering for you. Your family, your friends, maybe even our church. But I hope and I pray that it will never lead us to the place where it led Stephen. What you need to consider then is this. Where is your stopping point? I don't mean where is your line in the sand. I mean where is your stopping point? At what point will you stop making a stand for the truth? Are you willing to hang in there to the end? Are you willing to stand up despite the inevitable outcome? Are you willing to stand up even if your family will suffer? Those are hard questions to answer, aren't they? Well, life in the early church then wasn't the smooth sailing that we often imagine it to be. In fact, it took a great deal of courage for those early Christians to do what they did. There was certainly a lot of persecution to contend with, that's for sure. But I wonder how we'd cope if we were faced with the same dilemmas today. We might not face murderous mobs, hell-bent on stoning us to death, but there are elements within our society who wish we'd shut up and go away. Especially when it comes to talking about sensitive issues like euthanasia or abortion for that matter. You see, as a society, we just don't like being told what to do, do we? We sure don't like being told that something we want to do is wrong. In fact, we're a bit like those members of the Sanhedrin when they covered their ears and shouted Stephen down. The reality is, some people just don't want to hear the truth. So when the time comes to stand up and be counted, we should take note of Stephen's example. We should graciously and respectfully tell the truth. Tell them how it is. But be prepared to count the cost, because it might cost you. But it is the right thing to do for everyone. Just ponder that for a moment. Think about how it might apply to you in your life, in your situation. And then I shall pray. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for Stephen's example to us, Lord. Lord, your Spirit was with him, and he was a very bold and courageous man. Lord, we may not feel that we're as brave as Stephen, but we ask that your Spirit would help us. Help us and guide us, Lord. Help us to take a stand with a stand on your word, Lord. Help us to make a stand for that which is true. Lord, as we ponder our circumstances within our national church and think about how it affects us, we pray that your Spirit would give us wisdom, Lord, that you would lead and guide us and enable us to respond appropriately. We ask for your blessing to be upon us, Lord, as we earnestly seek you and your will for us. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.